have been serving in the youth group as a leader for a good 2.5 years. And for those of you who don't know, I am from Indiana. And so I am here in Missouri attending college at Evangel. And I'm in my last semester, holla. So part of just moving to a new state and attending college here, I had to search for a new home church. And I just fell in love with Hope the first Sunday I visited. And shortly after, I got connected in the factory. And I've just enjoyed every single moment that I've been serving in the factory and just getting to build relationships with you guys. And so, yeah, so I'm really excited to speak tonight. But one thing is, since I'm from Indiana, during the summers, I go back home. So I live back home and I work. And so I don't stay here during the summers. So because of that, unfortunately, I miss out on fun things like hot summer nights and Desperation. And so I get to hear all the lovely things you guys do here in Missouri. But I love coming back, and I love hearing about what God has done in your lives over the summer, and especially at camp, and just the ways that you've encountered him. And so I love just hearing just the testimonies I've gotten to hear from several of you. So tonight I'm actually asked a couple of students and a couple of leaders just to share about their experience at camp. So raise your hand if you've ever been to Desperation before, or especially this past summer. Okay, so since I've never been, if you could describe Desperation in one word, if I were to ask you, Desperation is what? Raise your hand if you want to volunteer. How would you describe it? Awesome, okay. Powerful. Okay, so tonight I just ask these students and leaders to come up and share what God has done in their lives at camp. I know it's been a while. Just to remind us of how you encountered God this summer, to remind us of just what he's done. And so if those students and if those leaders want to come up, and a student and a leader on this side, and then on this side. Just be respectful during this time as they share their testimony. For those of you who have gone to camp and who went this past summer, let this just be a time as you're hearing their personal testimonies, just to reflect on what God did in your lives. Just allow him to remind you of those experiences you had and those things he spoke over you. And those of us who had to miss out, just be encouraged by these testimonies. So we'll start.
Hey guys, I don't like microphones. Okay, so I was I just put this together. I was there. There was some girls. I can't remember exactly who it was, but I was kind of standing back. We were at Desperation. They were worshiping. It was during a worship service, and there was a few girls. I know who some of them are, but I'm not going to point them out. But they were kind of standing back, and you may know who you are, standing back while everybody else was going up to the Jesus mosh pit, and everybody was coming back. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was some standing back, and I remember I was worshiping, and Marquise, he asked somebody to have me come pray for them, and I went over there to these three or four girls that were very quiet. They stood back. They kind of just were watching, and I walked over there, and I just fell down. Like, they were filled, like, they were on the ground sobbing, like, the Holy Spirit, like, no matter what, that they had stood back there, they didn't approach where everybody else was, but it was just, I was there, I went to pray for them, and I couldn't. I just fell to my knees and was sobbing, like, just felt just the presence of God so strongly. I don't know that I have ever felt him like that, but he was just all over these few girls. And it was overwhelming, and it was so beautiful, and they were just crying out, like all they could do was cry out to their Lord. And is just like such a reminder that we don't have to do what everybody else is doing, that Jesus is good enough to meet us where we're at. Wherever we're at, he'll be there with us. And that those girls, it was probably one of the most powerful things I saw while I was there. And one of the most powerful things, I bet that they experienced something that nothing that the enemy, this world, could ever take away, no matter what they go through for the rest of their lives. And I was so grateful to get to experience that. So I'm not sure if that's exactly what. Okay, that's it. That's what's up. All right. You ready?
All right. Hey, guys. So, hi. So before we went to Desperation, Pastor Aaron and just like all of our leaders really encouraged us to have like high expectations for Desperation. So I really thought about that. And so one of my personal expectations for Desperation was to really experience God's healing. And I really just wanted to see that in a whole new way because I've never really seen that. So one of the first nights that we were there, me, Tyler, and a couple of other people were going around and like just like looking for people that we thought needed prayer for healing. And I saw this one girl that was in a boot. So I was like, hey, we should go pray for her. And so we went over, asked her what happened, and she like fractured her ankle and like pretty bad, I guess. And she was in a boot. So we're like, okay, so can we pray for you? And she was all for it. So we like put our hands on her, partner her ankle, and we prayed for her. And it was just really cool because in that instant, I could just feel like God's presence like on her ankle. Like it was nothing that I've ever experienced before. And that night she walked out of her boot with no pain, no fracture. And it was just really cool to see. And the next day she actually like didn't want to bring two shoes, but she thought she should. So like next day she was wearing two shoes, no boot. And she actually joined us with going around and praying for people's healing. And she was like totally filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was just so cool to see the transformation that God used us to minister in her life. And I just really saw God's healing in a whole new way. And it was just really cool. So.
All right. So there was this one night, the night before Desperation, that was just amazing. It was in the middle of a campsite. And all of us just decided to start screaming out to the Lord and start praying and singing. And she, that one, yeah, she noticed, a few people walking around and just kind of standing on the outside, kind of listening to it. And then I had just showed her something that I felt was speaking to me. And she told me to go up and talk to them. And I told them, and me and Tyler just pulled them in to the crowd, and everyone just gathered around him and started praying and sharing God with him. And then we prayed the whole night just for him and to help him. And there was another word that I got that night. It was that God has broken your chains. It's just whether or not you've laid them down for him to carry. And I just felt really powerful that night in what God was doing through me and through all the students and leaders there.
So this was a different experience for me because this is the first year that Aaron, if you guys don't know, Aaron's my husband, so it was different for me. Yeah, we're married. So it was different for me because in prior years, I could just kind of like just have all the fun, experience everything that camp has to have. And I felt like I had to be more of like, no, we can't go to the pool at 10:20. We said like lights out at 10:30 and there's Aaron running off. And so it was different in that sense. But at the same time, I'm going to just tell you guys, I've been walking with the Lord like Holy Spirit, Lord, like in that, just being filled with him. But I've never, ever, ever seen an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like I did with you guys. And I feel like that was so powerful and it shifted me in the sense where, like, that prayer group that they were talking about that were going around, there was lots of them. I felt like our students just literally had fire of heaven on them. And I, like, even had realizations of my own walk with the Lord and my own walk with the Holy Spirit. Like, wow, they're just, like, you know, speaking in tongues, no problem. It was such a boldness, and you knew it was, like, literally the book of Acts. It felt like it was happening. And it encouraged me so much as a leader, and I didn't, like, I got to stand back quite a bit and be like, I'm not even, like, leading this. I'm, like, being fed by them. And I just, when I was thinking about what I would share, the one word that came to mind is you guys were enthralled with the beauty of the Lord, an invitation that has always been there your whole life. And you, it's kind of like a Facebook invitation where it's there and you know and you keep getting reminders and you're like, oh, I should really do that. But you, like, you finally opened it and you were like, oh my gosh, how have I gone my whole life without having this beauty and this wonderful thing with the Lord? And so I just want to invite you guys back into that phase of just being enthralled with who he is and that it didn't just happen because we were at camp, because obviously what Isaiah shared, which I love, had nothing to do with the camp itself. It had everything to do with the Spirit of God. And so it's just amazing. So, yeah, we want to remember that. We want to celebrate that. And so I'm just so glad we were able to come back because that was back in July. So what is that? August, September, October? 4 months? But 4 months. So it's just good to remember. It's good for the soul and to long for more and be enthralled and don't get weary. That just because it's not like that fire at all times, like it's always present and it's always an invitation. And so anyways, yeah.
I want to share this. My dad is a gift. His love language is gifts. He's always gotten me lots of gifts. Even as an adult, he treats me like a little girl, and he brings me lots of presents. So at the end of Christmas, I gather all of my things. It's exciting. I open up all these gifts. I have all of these boxes full of stuff. I take them to my room, and throughout the month, I go through it and slowly open up things. I don't have a place for everything right away, but I go through it, and slowly it starts to become part of my life, whether it's new socks or perfume or something. And one of the things that God had shared with me about desperation was at that moment that God gave all of you guys and just downloaded so much stuff to you that you don't even know how to use it yet. But he has a plan. And as you came back, like you weren't sure exactly what to do with it, but it's all still there just because it's not something that you've put into use yet. He has a plan for every single thing that he downloaded to you. So like Lauren was saying, what you experienced there is not done. Like he will, throughout time, start to use those gifts. You will start to open them up, and you will start to put them into practice, and they will become part of your life at some point. So all of that stuff, there's more that was downloaded than you can even imagine that he gave you.
Thank you guys for sharing. So although, like, I couldn't personally be there at Desperation, it's even just as powerful just to hear their testimonies, because although you guys went as a group, you all attended the same camp, same services, you encountered God in completely different ways, and God spoke completely different things to you. And so just let this to be a reminder of what God did in your life, or just taking these testimonies, and just let it encourage you spiritually. So, go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 13. That's what we're going to be looking at today. And I don't know what page it is in your Bibles, so you guys can shout that page number out. 388. Okay. Good, everyone there? 388. Okay, shh, guys. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read Psalm 13. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And so as we read that, and as you look at those words in that psalm, it can kind of seem a little depressing at first. The psalmist is really just expressing his emotions. And so for those of you that are familiar with the psalms, or maybe not, there are many different authors who are credited to writing the psalms, but the majority of the psalms were written by David. And so it's not certain which individual psalm, for sure, who it's written by. But each and every individual psalm and the psalms as a whole, the purpose for them is expressing the intensity of the emotions of the circumstances that the author is facing. And so we see this in this passage. We see that the psalmist is saying, God, you know, I feel that you've forgotten me. He even goes as far to say, I feel that you've turned your face from me. And so in the different psalms, some of them were like songs of praise, giving thanks to God, giving praises to him. And then some were expressing emotions of fear and feeling lonely. And some express even personal battles, but even physical battles. You know, being victorious in battles, but also experiencing defeat. And so we see, if you think about it, it's almost like a book of journal entries, or like maybe written prayers, where they're so personal, and they're so real, and they're so honest. And so what it is the psalmist in this passage is just really expressing the emotions of his circumstances and what he's going through. And so that's why I love the Psalms. They're so real, they're so honest, and I think it's something that we can completely relate to. And so if we look at the first verse, it says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And so we see that the psalmist is feeling completely lonely, completely neglected by God. And I feel like there's dry seasons even in our own lives, in our spiritual lives, that maybe you've encountered in the past or that you may even go through. But there's times where you question, you know, God, are you really listening? Are you really there? Sometimes our prayers can seem empty or pointless because there just seems like there's just a disconnect or there's just a distance between us and God. And so what those dry seasons do is they can hinder us from experiencing more of God. And so there's several different things that can cause this distance between us and God. This distance can be caused by sin, things that we're doing when we're caught up in these patterns of decisions that we know are not honoring God, that we know go against what he's calling us to do, and yet we still do it anyways. Sometimes this is us refusing to give up certain things, where we just give into this temptation, and honestly, it's too satisfying in the moment that we honestly just don't want to give them up. And sometimes, because of our sin, because we're imperfect, because we allow these things to come into our life, sometimes when we're in the midst of our sin and it's causing us to be separated from God, sometimes we're the one who's hiding our faces from God. And so it seems like God's so far away, and he seems like he's not listening because we're the ones who's running from him. It's so easy to get caught up in the lies of just our guilt and our shame, where either ourselves or even the enemy begins to tell us that we're unworthy, that we're unable to be forgiven. And so we see in this psalm that's what the psalmist is feeling. He's feeling that he is separated from God, that he's feeling this loneliness, and he's searching for God. And then the second verse, it says, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? And so we see that he's just dealing with this sorrow and this pain of whatever his circumstances. And sometimes life can just be a little too much, and it can cause us it can be a distraction in our relationship with God. So not only can we allow sin to get in the way and separate us, but sometimes it's just our struggles. Sometimes, you know, we live in an imperfect world, and we live with imperfect people who make decisions that affect our lives. And there are just some things that we cannot control. And so sometimes we allow these struggles, we become consumed by them and overwhelmed by them, that we put God on the side and we put him on a shelf. And so he becomes our last priority because we're too consumed with what's going on and we're trying to take control of our situation. And so we put him to the side. And so sometimes the struggles that we go through can completely separate us from God. And sometimes we can even begin to question God. You know, when it feels like our world's falling apart, we can begin to question, you know, why we're going through it. If God is good, and he does see us and he does know us, then why would he allow such things to happen to us? So sometimes we can begin to place that blame on God. And so we begin to push him to the side. And the thing is when we do that, when we allow our circumstances and our struggles to completely overwhelm us, to completely consume us, we allow them to hinder us from experiencing more of him. And so instead of going to him with our struggles, instead of going to him in the midst of our pain, in the midst of those things that we don't understand, instead of going to him, we run from him. And he's the only one that can give us that peace and that can give us that strength to get through it. And so we may not be able to control the circumstances that we go through based on other people's decisions, based on our own decisions, but we can control the way we respond. And when I say that, I'm not saying just put a smile on your face, ignore the pain, and just move on. What I mean by that is we can choose to let our struggles separate us from God, or we can choose to let them draw us closer to him. And so we can allow sin and struggles, but we can also just simply forget God's goodness and what he's done in our lives. Just like we looked at these testimonies, these encounters that each of you had at camp, or most of us, it's easy to forget those moments, to forget those moments of where we encountered him and the realness of those moments. And so sometimes because we've allowed this distance to increase, we can forget what it feels like to feel close to him. We can forget what it feels like to feel his presence. And we forget what he's done in our lives and those experiences that we've encountered. And so it honestly goes so beyond camp. So for those of you who didn't go to camp, it goes beyond that. It goes each one of us that's in this room that has a relationship with God, the reason why you're pursuing a relationship with him or the reason why you pursued it in the past is because there was that moment where you encountered God in such a radical, in such a real way that it changed you. It changed something inside of you. And so it's so easy to forget why we're pursuing him in the first place. And so we can allow life to distract us, and we can allow ourselves to become lazy, and we can allow ourselves to become complacent in our walks with God. And put a halt on experiencing more of him. And so sometimes we simply just lack that passion or that desire. Like we were talking about at camp, you're on this mountaintop experience. Like Alicia said, we come with expectation. So what's different about camp is that you're expecting great things because you know what happened each year. And so you come expecting these great things, and you're excited, and you have this passion to just want to encounter God and to get everything that you can from that experience. But we kind of leave those things at camp. We kind of leave those experiences where they were. And so we can just lack that passion. We can lack that desire to want to move in on a new level of our relationship with him. And so I'll never forget, I was a sophomore in high school. And I had a friend named Jeremiah, and he did not grow up in a Christian home. He had one friend that was making a spiritual impact on his life. And so his friend attended my youth group. And he invited Jeremiah to come to the services, and he attended for a good month or so. And so he began to build relationships with us in the youth group. And I remember our youth pastor speaking that night about how the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And that night, Jeremiah gave his life to the Lord. And I'll never forget, after he just got done praying, after he just received Jesus in his heart, he stands up, and after service, he begins running around the church, hugging everyone that he came in contact with, telling everyone he loved them. He was just so ready to share with anyone and everyone he came in contact with what God had done in his life, because it was so real, and it was so transforming. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the power of those moments that we experience with God, and it's so easy to forget that. And so when I came back from this summer from Indiana and came back to Missouri and I began to start my last semester at Evangel, there was just some things that I was struggling with, some things that I was just really needing an answer from God about. And so I was just seeking his guidance, and I was just praying, and I just felt so desperate. And I felt like every time I prayed that they were just empty words. I felt like my prayers were just so pointless, because I just questioned, God, are you listening? You know, I'm needing an answer. And so what was happening is I was letting my circumstances begin to affect my spiritual life and begin to affect my trust in God. And in that moment, I heard God speak to me so clearly, and he said, Rachel, you are seen, you are known, and you are loved. And I feel like so strongly that God has placed that on my heart to remind you that he sees you in your circumstances, he knows you exist, he's aware of what's going on, he knows you, he knows the pain and the hurt that you feel, he knows the worry and the fear. And not only that, but he loves you. And there's just such a progression with those words. He sees you, and he knows you, but he loves you, and he really does care, and he wants to love you through it. And so if we look at Hebrews chapter 4, 15 through 16, I think it may be on the screen, it says, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet we are without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And what I love about this verse is it says God is able to empathize with our weaknesses. And that word empathy, or to empathize, means to feel with or to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And so I know Sierra's hit on this a couple weeks ago, but if you just think about all the other gods in the different religions, our earthly kings, there was never a time they dared to lower themselves to relate to their people. But that's not the God that we serve. We serve a personal God who loves us, who sent his son that was fully God but fully human. And so it says he was tempted in every way. So he endured the trials that come along with living on this earth, and he was endured the temptation that comes along with it, but yet he was without sin. So he understands us in our moments of weakness. And so God is not just concerned with when we're doing things right. He doesn't expect us to clean up our act before we come to him. He wants us to especially seek him in our moments of weakness, because he is the only one that can give us the strength to overcome temptation. Because when we try to do that on our own, we end up coming up short, because we need the work of the Spirit in our lives. And so this word empathize, and him understanding, he understands the realness of temptation. He understands the pain in the sorrow that you're feeling in the midst of your struggles, and he wants to love you through it. And at the end of this verse in Hebrews, it says he wants you to come in confidence to his throne in your time of need. He wants us to come in confidence. He wants to meet you exactly where you are, no matter what season of life that may be. And so when we look back at the psalm that we were reading, Psalm 13, there's a shift in the scripture where the psalmist goes from saying, God, I feel so alone. I feel like you've forgotten me. I feel like you've turned your face from me. And I'm feeling this sorrow and I'm feeling this hurt. And it shifts to him saying, verses 5-6, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And so I'm not sure what you're struggling with. We're all struggling with different things. Maybe it's sin that you've allowed to get inside your life and separate you from God. Maybe you're sick of going through the same patterns, making the same decisions that you know are only pushing you farther from God. Maybe it's just life. It's your struggles that you're going through. Maybe it's a family situation or broken relationships. Or maybe you're just overcome with fear and anxiety. And God wants to meet you, and he cares so much, and he sees that pain, and he sees that hurt, and he wants to walk with you through it. Or maybe you've just forgotten. You've forgotten that passion and that fire that you felt when you first gave your life to the Lord. And so I just want to remind you tonight that he sees you, he listens, and he knows what you're going through. He knows you, he knows the hurt that you're experiencing, and he loves you, and he wants to meet you where you are, especially when you're feeling distant from him, and especially when you feel like giving up and in your moments of weakness. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And so when we let these circumstances come into our life, whatever it is, they begin to not only separate us from God, but hinder us from experiencing more of him. God has so much more to offer you than what you are currently walking in, and you will miss out if you allow these things to take over, if you allow these things to take precedence over your relationship with God. And so we're just going to have a time of just worship as the worship team plays, and I want this to be a personal time where you're real with yourself and you're real with God. Just search your hearts, whatever it is that you feel is coming between you and God, or coming in between experiencing more of him and reaching that next level. And so I'm just going to invite you to come up here if you want to stand, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit. But make this a personal time. This isn't a dismissal. Make it personal. Be honest. And just let him get rid of those things that are hindering you. And just leave those at the altar tonight.